to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
And aloha, America. Welcome to the show here. Welcome to all the Rangers out there who are tuning in to help us work through the news and find all the information that's going on out there. And before we get into it, first of all, our phone number is 800-259-9231, 800-259-9231. Matt is in the control room, twiddling the dials and otherwise keeping us out of trouble. The chat room's open, the webcam's running, all systems are going, we're ready to rock you. But I want to start off here with this birth certificate issue, because it is continuing to be what I feel a manufactured issue in the media. When you have Michael Savage coming out there now, and Glenn Beck, and all the rest of these people, and they're making this an issue, and frankly, I'm suspicious. Now, today, here in Hawaii, the state government has reiterated that they have examined all of the relevant documents in the state archives to confirm that Barack Obama was born here on the island of Oahu. Oh, so very, very, very long ago. And the issue that I have with this right now, normally I would not have even bothered with this, but I had two observations I wanted to make. The first is the fact that so many Americans are like signing on to this idea and thinking, wow, is there really something there? I think is a confirmation of a general disappointment with Barack Obama, which confirms these plunging numbers we're seeing from Zogby and Rasmussen. We've never had a president whose poll ratings fell as fast as Obama's have been falling, which also is a warning sign, because every time we've got a president whose poll numbers start plunging real quick, we get something like the Oklahoma City bombing, or cruise missiles get launched at Sudan or something like that, and who knows what's going to go on. The second thing I want to bring out, for the corporate media to be paying this much attention to it, frankly, folks, I smell a big Washington, D.C. rat. And they grow them pretty big in that city, about the size of a nutria. And the reason I say that is both the government and the corporate media are desperate to find some way to discredit the blogosphere and the alternative media. We've got MSNBC was out there saying that anybody who doubts the government is mentally ill. They're pushing that whole Soviet Union thing. You've got to be crazy not to be trusting the U.S. government. And so they're out there doing that. And this birth certificate issue, the way it's being put out there and promoted, if you will, it feels like it's a PR exercise. And the idea is to get a whole bunch of people saying, oh, yes, the blogosphere is, they're pointing out that the birth certificate may not be real. Then Obama comes out with the actual original document or whatever, and the corporate media has a field day saying, oh, silly bloggers, how can you trust anything they say now? Because they blew it so bad on Obama's birth certificate, they were just being silly. So how can you believe anything they say about the economy or 9/11 or about the torture scandal or about how well the wars are going in Iraq and Afghanistan? So, folks, you got to be really careful about this. You know the old saying, if it's too good to be true, it's too good to be true. And it certainly is in this case. I mean, I am still very much of the opinion that Obama, if he was not able to meet that most basic requirement of being president, would have never gotten his party's nomination. Hillary Clinton would have used this against him. And this rumor was making the rounds back during the primary season. If there was anything to it, Hillary would have used it to destroy him and take the nomination for herself. So, folks, I'm sorry. There's no there there. And yes, I know the government lies and cover-ups about things, but look for what should be there and isn't. I mean, we all know where does the evidence lead us, and how do we prove this, and how do we prove a negative? We don't prove a negative. But you need to really understand a situation. Look for what should be there and isn't. So if you start out with this assumption that Obama isn't really a citizen and the birth certificate is a fake, or anything like that, what would have been the inevitable result? The inevitable result would have been that Hillary Clinton would have used it to get the nomination, and John McCain would have used it to win the presidency. So there's no there there. And the fact that it's being made a big issue on the corporate media tells me it's a setup. It's a setup, and woe to anybody who hops on this bandwagon. You're going to get a bruising like you wouldn't believe. So for all you Rivero's Rangers out there, I do like that. This sounds so much better than Ditto Heads. So all you Rangers, just keep your eyes open on this one, because it feels like the corporate media is paying way too much attention to this. They really are. And yes, I know they're camped out in front of Michael Jackson's doctor's office with the TV cameras and all the rest of the stuff. But really, it's a non-issue. And the fact that they're trying to put it out there so hard, you're being suckered in. You're being suckered in. All right, moving right along here. The other big story of the day, of course, today was the parole hearing, the first one in 15 years for Leonard Peltier. Now, Leonard Peltier is a Native American activist, was involved in the American Indian movement, and goes back some 33 years. And the short version of the story was that some 2 years after the siege at Wounded Knee, which was about the U.S. government not keeping its treaty obligations with the Native Americans. Ooh, big shock there, right? So 2 years later, there was this incident on the Pine Ridge Reservation where there was a shooting in which two FBI agents who were just brand new to the reservation wound up being killed. And there were three people charged with the crime. Two of them were acquitted. Leonard Peltier was convicted. In the aftermath of the trial, it has come out that the FBI, well, the FBI was being the typical FBI, is the bottom line here. Key witnesses were banned from testifying about FBI misconduct in the case. Testimony was coerced. There's this wonderful video that we've got linked to the front of whatreallyhappened.com where they're talking about this woman who testified at the trial that she was with Leonard Peltier when he was there shooting at the FBI agents, and now she's come forward to say that the FBI said they were going to arrange to have her child taken away by social services and she was never going to see her kid again unless she agreed to testify at the trial. Just a big, ugly situation. It was a railroading, a classic FBI railroading, about as well executed as the one that they did on James Earl Ray, who got railroaded for the assassination of Martin Luther King. And we're all familiar with this stuff now, but 33 years ago, the idea that the FBI would play like this, most Americans didn't understand it. And even though we'd already had the COINTELPRO hearings in Congress, which revealed that the FBI was playing all these dirty tricks on the peace movement, the Native American movement, the early feminists, all the way back through the entire 60s. When that scandal broke, it was a huge scandal. But even so, because Americans had been brainwashed with all these TV programs and movies about what swell folk the FBI are, they just didn't make that link between the abuses of COINTELPRO. And, of course, the FBI was saying, well, yes, we did it back in the 1960s, but honest, we don't do that anymore. And we saw this situation here where Leonard Peltier was basically railroaded into jail. He has had one appeal since, and the appeal judge agreed there were serious problems with the prosecution. He even went so far as to excoriate the FBI for their malfeasance in the handling of the case. But he said he didn't grant Peltier a new trial because he said the judge was not convinced that the new evidence would really reverse a jury's opinion. Personally, you know, that's kind of a gray area. The judge then went on and petitioned the president for clemency for Leonard Peltier, saying that he wanted to give him a new trial, but he was constrained by the letter of the law. When that petition for clemency went through, something like 500 FBI agents picketed the White House saying, do not release Leonard Peltier. Remember J. Edgar Hoover's number one rule for the FBI? Never embarrass the agency. Hoover didn't care if you killed the wrong people or you set fire to a nun or you just any of that stuff. As you just never allowed it to become public. You never tarnished the FBI's image. I mean, Hoover was a nut for the FBI's image. If you've ever seen the old movie, The FBI Story with Jimmy Stewart, Hoover was on the set every day telling the director how to make the movie to show the correct image of the FBI that Hoover wanted to get out there. We're going to take a break. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Canadian Public Radio.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something, by and by, the rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about Leonard Peltier, who had his parole hearing today. The hearing is over. We have been told that the director of the parole board is going to issue his recommendation within 48 hours. The parole board as a whole then has 3 weeks to decide if they're going to go along with the recommendation or not. We're all very hopeful that a tremendous miscarriage of justice is going to be reversed. But the reality is that Leonard Peltier is a tremendous embarrassment to the United States government. And we've had Congress people admitting openly there are very powerful people in Washington, D.C. who want Leonard Peltier kept in jail because he is an embarrassment to the U.S. Government, just as there was so much pressure put on keeping James Earl Ray in prison, even when it became apparent that the FBI had basically lied on the ballistics report that tied James Earl Ray's rifle to the bullet that killed Martin Luther King. It was just all about stalling and never allowing the public at large to realize that, yes, the FBI frames, wrongly convicts people and sends them up the river for purely political reasons. We've had a horrible crime. We've got to have somebody to punish. I mean, this kind of thinking goes all the way back to Bruno Richard Hauptmann, who was executed for the kidnapping and murder of the Lindbergh baby. It is now generally agreed among historians that he was framed. And I have some inside information on that. I'll go into that in another story, but I don't want to go off into that today. But basically, getting back to Peltier, I mean, it's almost a cliche here in the United States that the U.S. government treats the Native Americans almost as bad as Israel's treating the Palestinians. And the reason for the whole siege at Wounded Knee was basically over some 371 treaties between the U.S. government and the nations of the American indigenous people, all 371 treaties having been violated by the United States government at some point or another. And so this siege at Wounded Knee occurred just 2 years before the events for which Leonard Peltier is in prison. And the attitude of the FBI was they wanted to crush down the spirit of independence in the Native Americans. They didn't want another mass uprising. They just wanted to make sure that, you know, they just keep them in their place kind of mentality. But when you asked around the reservation who might have had motive to kill federal agents, the conventional wisdom was anybody out there after what they'd been through. I mean, we've had all these other cases going back here where the Native American trust funds, we've got all these lawsuits, lawsuit by the Blackfeet Indian, Eloise Cobell. The government had mismanaged more than $100 billion in oil, gas, and timber royalties that it was supposed to be managing from Indian lands going back to 1887. That money just sort of went away. Subsequent judges basically said the U.S. government has just completely screwed up the paperwork to make it impossible to find out where the money has gone. The Nez Perce tribe also sued the U.S. government. There have been numerous lawsuits by Native American groups to recover the money that is theirs from the licensing of their reservation lands for mineral and timber exploitation. And the mineral companies come in and they dig mines and they drill wells and they harvest the timber, and the money goes into the U.S. Treasury that is supposed to be holding it in trust to return to the Native Americans through their own indigenous government agencies, and they never get the money. So there are all of these lawsuits, and what has transpired over the last several years as more and more of these lawsuits come out is that the U.S. government did to the Native American trust funds what it did to the Social Security trust fund. It has been looting them to have the money to balance the federal budget, and the money just isn't there anymore. They've even done it to the Federal Employee Retirement Fund. That's full of IOUs now. And it's just this huge, huge scandal. And that's another reason they don't want Leonard Peltier out there, because he will be an instant focus and spokesman for Native American rights. relating to all of these various abuses in the court system. All right, we have a caller on the line. We're going to go to Stefan in California. Aloha, Stefan. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I just wanted to backtrack a little bit on the Abominator issue.
Mm-hmm.
And, the big thing about the birth certificate and all that, there's something that everyone, I think, is missing, especially the mainstream news media, and that is the fact that his father was a British citizen. And according to British law, that makes baby Obama a British citizen as well, so he would have dual citizenship.
Only for the purposes of if he returned to Great Britain, he would be considered an automatic subject of the crown. But Obama, given that Obama was supposedly born here inside the United States, then U.S. law applies, and he's automatically a citizen, and it doesn't matter where his parents come from. And even if he's a British subject, dual citizens are common in this modern world of high-speed jet travel. Look at all the dual nationals we have working in Washington, D.C. right now, who
you
are American citizens.
You cannot run for president with dual citizenship. And,
where does it say
according
that?
According to British law, that's what
no,
it
no,
is.
No, no, no. Where does it say that he can't be a dual citizen? It just says he has to be natural-born and a citizen of the United States.
You're not allowed to run for president with dual citizenship.
It doesn't say dual citizen anywhere in the Constitution.
Right. I mean, it gives specific. It says that you have to be, a natural born. You cannot hold any other citizenship because your allegiance would lie with another country.
The Constitution doesn't actually say that. Stefan, thank you very much for the phone call. We're going to let you go here. Folks, don't get sucked in. They're trying to get this issue out there. They're trying to sucker people into falling for it so that down the road, Obama will provide whatever proof is going to seal the issue, and the corporate media is going to go after the blogosphere and the alternative media with a meat axe. It's a setup, I promise you. Now, getting back to Leonard Peltier, and we are following this story very, very closely. One of my favorite movies, and I'm not even really sure why, it was just a well-done movie, and I'm not a big Val Kilmer fan, but I did admire that he took a creative chance on working in this movie called Thunderheart. And probably it'll be out there somewhere on TV Land, and you can get it from Netflix. And the story of the movie Thunderheart is loosely based on the Leonard Peltier case. In fact, there's a character in the movie, Jimmy Looks Twice, that is based on Leonard Peltier. And the actor who plays him, John Trudell, is not only an actor, he is a Native American spokesman, he's an activist, he's an artist, he's a poet, he's an incredible individual. Just what he has been through at the hands of the United States government would make a movie in and of itself. We're trying to get him to come on the show here, regardless of what the parole board decision is. He's just this incredible, fascinating individual, and we're trying to get him on the show here. So anyway, there we are with Leonard Peltier, and I wish him luck. I really wish him luck, but unfortunately he's an embarrassment to the United States government and the U.S. government. We just saw it down in Guantanamo. Barack Obama is going to keep all of those torture victims locked up permanently for the rest of their lives without trial because he just doesn't want them walking around talking to the press about what the U.S. government did to them. So I think Peltier is going to get the same exact treatment. And I'm sorry to say it, but I don't have high hopes he'll be paroled. Prove me wrong. Go ahead and prove me wrong. We'll be back after these words from our sponsors.
This is the GCN Radio Network.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just track yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. And I want to do a quick follow-up with what Stephen in California was talking about. Many Americans are unaware there's actually a missing amendment to the Constitution. When the Constitution was originally put together and the Bill of Rights was put in there, they started adding a few amendments. And there was originally the 13th Amendment was called the Titles of Nobility clause. And I think this may be what Stephen was thinking about, because under the Titles of Nobility Amendment to the Constitution, U.S. government officials were not allowed to accept any honors or titles from foreign governments, this being a very favored way for governments to curry favor with the officials of each other. They'd give them medals and these big gaudy necklaces and say, you're now a member of the Order of the Broom or whatever the heck it was going on. And the founding fathers did not want to play that game. They were basically rejecting the standards of government that had come over from Europe. They had the U.S. government issuing its own gold and silver currency. They put a constitutional ban on issuance of credit. Exactly what the Federal Reserve Note is banned by the Constitution. And the Titles of Nobility Amendment basically said that, yes, if you were in service to a foreign government, you could not hold office in the United States of America. Now, that amendment kind of sort of just disappeared at some point in our history and was replaced with the Involuntary Servitude Amendment, which says that no American citizen, or actually no person within the United States, can be coerced into performing involuntary service of any kind except as punishment for a crime for which they will have been duly convicted in a court of law. It is this amendment which actually makes a draft illegal, and they have to sort of fudge around it and say, well, we're not really drafting you, you just agreed to volunteer with a gun to your head. And sort of this weasel wording to sort of get around the fact that under the 13th Amendment, the draft is illegal. So that may be what Stephen was thinking about. But in point of fact, the requirements for president, natural-born citizen of the United States, and there is no mention about dual citizenship, nor is there any indication that the British claim that Obama would be a citizen has any legal standing in the United States anyway, because the British legal system doesn't have jurisdiction here. That's why a lot of my ancestors shot up a lot of British ancestors, so that the British crown did not have any control over the United States of America. So it's a moot point. And again, it is a sucker play. It is a sucker play. They're trying to get everybody cranked up on this whole Obama thing, and then they're going to deliver the sucker punch down the road, and they're going to use it to destroy the alternative media's credibility, because the corporate media and the government, they're desperate right now. We're going to go back to the phones. Tom in Arizona. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What is on your mind?
Well, regarding this sucker play, I just got on and I just started hearing you. What's the sucker play? They're going to show that he was really born in Hawaii?
Yeah, somewhere down the road, I'm sure that's going to be the case here. And
they're going to make up a phony birth certificate then.
Well, okay, all right, Tom, goodbye. Thank you very much, Tom. I'm sorry, I've had enough of these people. This is a non-issue, folks. Look for what should be there and isn't. If there was anything at all to this citizenship thing, Hillary Clinton would have used it to kick out Obama and take the nomination, and John McCain would have used it to win the presidency. It isn't there. It's a setup. You are being set up on this thing. All right. Now, moving on to the economy. Remember Citigroup? Last year, they started limiting the money going out the ATM, saying, ooh, we've been hacked. And nobody else was reporting any kind of problems. And I said, I think Citigroup is in trouble. And sure enough, they wound up needing $45 billion of your money in bailout funds. Apparently, that same Citigroup is now doing so wonderfully well that they are paying out $100 million bonuses. Don't you wish you worked in an industry where you could get a $100 million bonus after taking $45 billion in the taxpayer money? I mean, there's something going on there, folks. There is something going on. They're looting the nation. They're looting the nation. They're trying to distract you. They're distracting you with Michael Jackson. They're distracting you with swine flu. And they're distracting you with human-caused global warming. And they're distracting you with Obama's birth certificate. The real story is the financial elites and the government of the United States are looting the wealth of the nation, and they're putting it in their pockets. And they're acting like they don't believe this government's even going to be here a year from now. And they may well be right. But that is the real story. Meanwhile, they're still trying to talk about a jobless recovery, and that is another piece of absolute total government nonsense. There will be no economic recovery until the jobs come back for the American people. not minimum wage jobs. We're talking the jobs they had before. We've got all these very rich Republicans out there saying, well, they just want socialism and they want charity and they want... No, we don't want anything of the sort. What we want is what we had before, that we worked for before, that we built up before. We want what we had before, bring it back and give it back to us. You took it away by giving all these corporations these tax incentives to send our jobs to other countries. Just bring it back. Give us back the high-paying jobs, and we'll pay our mortgages, and we'll pay our taxes, and we'll pay our credit card bills, and we'll go out and buy cars from the big three automakers. We'll do all those things that will get the economy moving again. But as long as the government continues to try and pick up the economy by the tip of the pyramid, by Wall Street, the foundation is going to continue to drop away. And without a foundation, even a pyramid is going to collapse. Now, part of the money, the so-called stimulus money that was supposed to go out there to revive consumer credit and allow us to refinance our homes and avoid foreclosure, well, that didn't happen. They're spending the money instead to hire more police across the country. This in the wake of stories where one guy has been sodomized by the police with a taser, and other police were just cleared of all charges for tasering and pepper spraying a deaf guy because he wouldn't listen to them when they ordered him out of the stall at the men's room. I mean, the police are totally out of control, bonkers, crazy, and Barack Obama is taking your tax money to buy more police. We know why. They're expecting riots at any time, and they want more of these wacko, crazy, former military out there with the tasers police department to keep us all in our place. And that's why the money's being spent there instead of on bringing back the economy. Meanwhile, talking about this issue about soldiers coming back from Iraq, we're getting all of a sudden this spate of killings, these shootings by returning Iraqi war veterans. And their families will try and call the military and say, look, these guys are on the edge. They have been living in Iraq where they've been told, go ahead and kill civilians, go ahead and kill civilians, go ahead and kill civilians. And they're coming home, and guess what? They're killing civilians. And the military is trying to pretend, well, it's not our problem. We had nothing to do with it. And we have this one case here where this one soldier, you know, he came home, he was hovering on the edge, his family called the military and said, look, you know, this guy's not holding it together. And the military taunts the guy and says, your mommy called and says you're not well, and pushed him right over the edge. And so we are seeing this huge problem come back to the United States, because those young men and women in uniform, they're smart enough, but it doesn't matter how much censorship the U.S. government is doing, how many websites like mine are being blocked from the military personnel, it doesn't really matter. These kids are smart enough to realize they're on the bad side of this war. They're the bad guys. They're the invaders, the spoilers, the conquerors, the killers. And it's messing up their heads. And they're coming back to the U.S. in this mind state that they were deliberately put by the U.S. government, and they're turned loose on the streets of America. And people are dying because of it. We're going to go to the phones. We've got Adam in Ohio. Aloha, Adam. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Good evening. Love the show, man.
Okay, Adam, can you hang with us through the commercial break? We're going to just keep you on hold, and we'll bring you back next segment, okay?
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
When
Aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go right back to Adam from Ohio. Aloha, Adam. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, I just wanted to talk about Leonard Peltier a little bit, American Indian Movement. I called you a couple weeks ago and mentioned it. I'm real glad to hear you following up with it and keeping people informed about his story, because I think it's really important, especially for people who want to contemplate, you know, trying to challenge the government on an issue. And this is a terrible but great example of probably their playbook, you know what I mean, and what they're going to do. The shootout came after an end of what was known as the Reign of Terror, where I believe up to 60 people were murdered in a kind of proxy war between the federal government, who was arming and using the tribal police. They actually called them the goons, the guardians of the Oglala Nation.
Yeah.
And they were firing armor-piercing bullets and everything, and then they were going up against.
They had full auto M16s. They had full auto M16s. The government gave them.
Right. And you know, there was a lot going on that built up to that shooting. Like when it, you know, but there's two great sources for people. Robert Redford made a film, Incident at Oglala. It gets pretty deep into it. I think it summarizes it well.
We have that link. We have that link to whatreallyhappened.com right now. People can go see it right there.
It's a great film. And then also a book by a guy, I believe his name is Peter Matheson or Mathiasen. It's called In the Spirit of Crazy Horse. Thick book. Great detail. Does justice to some of the other activists that died, like a woman named Anna Mae Aquash. I believe she was found with her hands severed. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's worth people studying. And then to find out that this guy is still sitting in jail, I think it's I'm just glad to hear you talking about it. And the other thing I was going to mention about it was, if you'd ever heard of an author named Ward Churchill, he's an American Indian Movement activist.
Yes,
he's
very
also
much
an author.
So.
And he wrote a great book called A Little Matter of Genocide, detailing a lot of things about Native history that you wouldn't think of, like Cold War impacts on the reservations. And you know, I never thought about that, but that's where a lot of the uranium mines are. And there was
that's
a lot
exactly
of abuse
right.
there, you know.
That's exactly right. They covered that in the movie Thunderheart, where the brokering of uranium mines was the motive. Adam, I hate to do this, but we've got Solomon on the line from Brazil, and it's a long-distance call that he has to pay for.
Hey, that's all right, man.
So we're going to let you go, but thank you for the call. And calling again, we're going to switch over to Solomon in Brazil. Hola, ¿cómo está?
Saravá, meu hermano Ribeiro.
What is on your mind today?
Very short call because I don't know if I might be cut off at any time. To my dear brother Adam, the trial of Leonard Pelter by Jim Messermich and In the Spirit of Crazy Horse by Peter Matheson. But,
yes.
But what I want to do is bring you some ammo in the case of Obama's birth certificate, because you are totally, absolutely right. This is just a distraction. I want to remind people that pretty much it's like a deja vu. Pretty much the same kind of thing happened when in 2004, it was the Bush papers from the National Guard, and Dan Rather looked like a stupid because he got this kind of weird witness that at the end he was totally disqualified and everything just went into the toilet.
Yes. And Rather did fall for it. He was set up. Most of those papers weren't in fact accurate.
Exactly.
And they got a bogus paper in on him, and you got to be really careful. The other side likes to play dirty. We're all raised to be honest and honorable and truthful. That gives the government the advantage because they play dirty. They lie, cheat, steal, and kill, and think that's their right to do it. It is a right reserved to the government to act dishonestly, and that is the way they control the people. Because as long as they're willing to do things that we, the American people, are not, they have the tactical advantage. And that's just unfortunately a truth. In order to defeat an enemy, you very often must become just as vile as that enemy. I don't like it, but it is a reality that history has shown.
You are totally right, dear brother Rivera, in that. And I want that people understand that this is just a distraction. We have much more important issues like torture, like invasions, like the disaster in the military, everything. So this is just a very destructive issue that it will bring probably more despair and lack of focus in the movement if people just concentrate in that. Who cares about that? I don't care, because if Obama just get rid of Obama, who is going to take charge of that? Just Bidet.
Yeah, well,
over here,
Joe Biden.
Bidet.
Yes.
Huh? Thank you very much, Brother Guerrero, for your time and your job. You are doing a great job. Thank you very much, brother. Bye.
Thank you very much, Brother Solomon. All right, that was Solomon from Brazil. And as we get down to the end of the show here, do you remember not too long ago when, with tremendous fanfare, it was about a month ago, American troops were withdrawn officially from the urban areas in Iraq? Hey, we're out of the urban areas. See, the war is winding down. Well, guess what, folks? They're back in the urban areas. They're going back in quietly. They're going back to patrolling the streets. It was just a feint. Obama lied again. We're going back to the phone. Scott in Wisconsin. Aloha, Scott. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael?
Doing okay.
Hey, I got a just called in. I just wanted to give you the website to check out and a lot of your listeners.
Okay.
It's www.stop, and then you put a minus side,
mm-hmm.
and then obama.info. And it's just a great site. Just check it out and let the people check it out. It's got a lot of good information on it, and it will open up a lot of people's eyes.
Okay, well, we'll take a look at that, Scott. We're going to let you go here. And an interesting story just now breaking on the Jerusalem Post, okay? The new spin is that the only reason these rabbis got arrested this last week is because the FBI is anti-Semitic. Okay? As if the FBI would have absolutely no reason to arrest a gargantuan money laundering and organ trafficking ring if they didn't hate the Jews. I mean, that's the latest spin coming out from Israel on this matter. And a lot of people have said they're very surprised that the U.S. government went after these rabbis, given the very often hands-off approach that we have seen with people like Dr. Philip Zak and so forth and so on. I am of the opinion that Obama may have decided to send Israel a message because of all this anti-Obama rhetoric coming out of Israel and the Feeling the Hate in Jerusalem videos and these anti-Obama demonstrations, because it puts Obama in this very awkward situation. Because if Israel is screaming, you don't love us anymore, and we protest and everything, Americans are going to be saying, okay, send back the checks, or don't even send them in the first place. If Israel doesn't like us, stop sending them our tax money. And for whatever reason, Obama can't do that. So I think he wanted to send Israel a message that if Israel doesn't back down over calling him a racist, among other things, that he's going to start making things very, very difficult for Israel on the world stage with more of these arrests. I mean, we've had, you know, Bernie Madoff, and the numbers are legion at this point. I can't even remember all of them. All right, we're getting down to the end of the story, show here, rather. As I said, our troops are going back into the cities of Iraq. We're going right back to our kids being killed by these improvised explosive munitions. And, I mean, Barack Obama campaigned on a promise he was going to wind these two wars down, Afghanistan and Iraq, and bring our kids home. Now, my position here is that if Barack Obama cannot or will not keep that campaign promise, that it is time for him to resign in favor of somebody who will. Because his poll numbers are definitely showing he's losing the support of the American people. When he was on TV the other night trying to sell his snake oil, his health plan, he got one statement absolutely correct. He said the biggest problem the U.S. government faces right now is that we, the American people, don't trust the government, which is why we had this follow-up story from MSNBC saying that people who don't trust the government are mentally ill. You don't want to be mentally ill, do you? So you have to believe the government. Just believe. We have bribed you through your childhood to believe in things. Believe in Santa Claus, you get a bicycle. Believe in the Easter Bunny, you get chocolate eggs. Believe in the Tooth Fairy, you get money. Believe in the president, and you will all will be well, or whatever it's going to be. All right, the music says it's time to end the show. Boy, this went so fast. Thanks to everybody who called in. Made the show really wonderful. Salute to the Rangers out there helping to send in new news leads every day and help keep the world on the straight and narrow path here. Until tomorrow at 5 p.m. Central here on the Genesis Communication Network. Stay safe, drive carefully, hug your loved ones, and aloha, America.